did really bad things. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
he's done some...
Rest in peace, Gary Glitter.
He's not dead. I don't think he's dead yet. Is he dead?
He's dead to not me. Did he come up to your house for Christmas?
No.
Did he send you a birthday card?
No.
When you got engaged, did Gary Glitter call you and say, "Hey, man, you don't know me, but congratulations"?
I hope that he doesn't have my phone number.
Well, you know what? If he's not going to call you, if he's not going to pretend that you exist, why should you and I pretend that he exists?
Exactly. He is dead to us.
He's all dead to us. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the 16-Bit Catholic Podcast. We were just talking about the horrible Gary Glitter and the horrible things he's done. Neither James and I have done anything remotely horrible as Gary Glitter, and you can Google him if you don't believe us. We might be bad hombres. We're not bad hombres like that guy. But
that's a muy malo hombre right there.
Man, I haven't talked to you on this podcast in forever. I'll explain myself in a minute, but how have you been doing? Yeah.
I've been good. So 4th of July was yesterday. It was fairly quiet, and we had a little bit of worked a little bit actually in the daytime. Then did a little cooking, and then walked up the street and saw the fireworks with our neighbors. So it was all good in the hood.
Was this professional work you had to do, or like sweeping the floors and planting stuff in the garden or whatever?
No, this was professional work. We actually saw a couple patients in the morning, and we were done by about 1 o'clock, maybe 1:30, and then. The rest of the day we were free to frolic around.
Ah, see, I had to go to work at 3:30, and I didn't get off work till midnight last night. So it was no fun. By the way, yeah, I work at a newspaper still. I work evenings again, but I work at home. So
cool.
I go in my office. What's the phrase? You crapper, you eat, or something like that. That's what I do right now presently. So
it's you're not supposed to eat where you crap.
Okay, that's where it is. Shit where you eat. I don't know.
Yes, there you
go. Are we allowed to say bad words on the show still? I don't know. How did we figure that out? I don't know what we're doing. If you're listening to this with your children, we're both sorry. James, say a bad word just to get it in there before we bleep ourselves.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Okay, there you go. I actually said that the other day, and my daughter thought that was strange. Thought that was a funny thing for Daddy to say, fiddlesticks. So,
it is. Tell her it's German for something really bad. No, I don't.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees.
I was logging onto Skype right now, and I saw the last time that we actually spoke via Skype. We've spoken via other things, but last time we spoke via Skype was July 30th, 2016.
Yeah, that's the last time we podcasted. It was about talking about me moving to Austin, Texas. And I did move to Austin, Texas. And it's great because, like I said earlier, I get to work from home now. And that's more time that I get to spend with my wife and with my children. Everybody else at the office, they're on they take their breaks, they go smoking, they're frolicking with each other, they do whatever you do within 15 minutes. Me, I am changing diapers and designing pages, sometimes at the same time.
Ooh, so, yeah. You're ambidextrous.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. They might say, "Hey, don't you do that. You're supposed to be work. But I don't know, I get paranoid that I'm going to do a bad job at work, and they're going to like say, "No, this work at home experiment," which is what they call it right now, is a remote trial program. I'm afraid if I do a bad job on like anything at work that they're going to say, "You know what, this isn't working out. Why don't you come back to the office?" And I don't want to go back to the office. That's a 20-minute drive, and I don't get to see my children as much as I do. So I'm overly paranoid at work or whatever, trying to make sure I do a good job. So that's been my life. Stressful.
That's stressful. How is Austin? I've heard many interesting things about Austin, Texas, out here in L.A.
Well, you mentioned 4th of July last night. How many fireworks shows did you see last night?
One professional one, and I heard a few amateur ones around around the neighborhood.
Damn it, that sounds kinky, man. Some amateur. Yes. You cut some amateur shows, man.
Amateur shows. Amateur fireworks.
What was where we live, our apartment, it's not the greatest apartment in the world. It's an apartment. I don't have my own yard or whatever. But outside of our window, you can see all of southern Austin and like the great state of Texas in the distance. It's actually a really cool view, and it's the only reason why I would want to stay in this apartment instead of moving to a different, cheaper apartment somewhere, because I really do enjoy the view. And And there were like six fireworks shows off going off like all at once. Like if you just like scan the horizon, there's one over here. You can see the baseball minor league baseball stadium, Round Rock Express, I believe is their name. They had their own fireworks show going off. I guess some park probably had something going off because they were the big fireworks. They weren't the sparklers that somebody was throwing up in the air. These were these were glorious fireworks, courtesy of China, going off in the air. Yeah. So. Yeah, it was really cool. So that was my 4th of July. But no, man, Austin is good. I wish you could come and visit. They got the Classic Game Fest coming up at the end of July. We'll do a podcast about that, I'm sure, but with a bunch of old retro games and everything. And I know they probably got pretty good tacos in California, but my God, man, I just ate. We have the best tacos here in Austin. I've never had tacos. Most of the time, this is a bad thing I'm going to tell you right now, but most of the time, I prefer Taco Bell to authentic Mexican food. I know that.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm going to hell is what I'm doing. But but no, this is the first time I've had this where I was like, oh my God, this is the most amazing taco. It's better than Taco Bell. It's the best taco I've ever had. I'm sure that if I go out to California where you are in this beautiful San Fernando Valley, they will have tacos that taste just as good as the tacos here. But they make them with like a pork belly or whatever. And they're so good that you don't need cheese. You don't need, you know, all this other nonsense in there. It's just the meat and some grilled onions and some, you know, salsa, some pico de gallo or whatever you want in there. And it's like one of the first taco type foods I've had where my stomach doesn't, you know, go crazy at the end of the night because I ate too many tacos. I can eat six tacos from this place. I did it one time. I ate six tacos and it feels great. I feel great inside. I guess that's what happens when you go to a real place that makes real authentic food.
Yeah, when you get real tacos. Yeah, the real tacos, it's interesting because, like, you know, the traditional real tacos, you don't throw that cheese on. They don't throw sour cream on it and even guacamole. You know, it's just the meat. You got the onions. It could be grilled. It could be raw. And then you got a little cilantro. And then you can throw on, like you said, the pico de gallo or just a, you know, another type of sauce. And then, boom, there you go.
Oh, man. What is the best taco? What do you get? What kind of taco do you get when you go taco hunting?
When we go to a taco truck, I'll either get I like carnitas, so that's pork, obviously. I love the carne asada, so that's a steak. And then I like al pastor. That's a, like a kind of a spicy marinated pork. It's really, really good. It's the type of meat that they have on a – it's like the meat wheel where it's just turning and they just slice it off as it goes by.
Wow. That sounds really good, actually. I might try that again. Try the pork belly sometime if you get a chance to do that. It's like – it's like bacon, but like amped up to 11 or whatever. It's so good. We made some pork belly at the house the other day, and that was the first time I ever made a taco at home that tasted as good as a taco from a taco truck or what have you. Just nice. Pork belly. I don't know why it took me 33 years of my life to ever have pork belly, but it was probably the best meat I've ever had in my life, man. So
there you go. Pork belly is a delicious type of a cut of pork, I guess you would say.
Oh, something else happened while we were in Austin, Texas. My wife and I, my wife did most of the work, but I supplied sperm. We had a baby.
Hey, congratulations, number three.
Thanks, number three. Her name is Zelda Rose, and she can be ridiculous sometimes. I don't remember my other two children being as impatient with their crying as this kid is. It's like, oh, my God, I just want to get up and take a shower, you know, by myself, just go off and do something for me for once. But this kid doesn't let me do it. It's ridiculous. So
she's going to be the trouble kid, number three. Yeah.
That's the downside to working at home is sometimes I feel like I don't have an escape from my needy children.
How old is Zelda right now?
Zelda is, she's born in April, so she's about 3 months old.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so it's still early on in the needy phase.
Yeah. Oh, man. And she's the first child I've had. The other two, for some reason, I was able to avoid them pooping while I'm changing the diaper. That never happened to me. They would pee every now and then. But this kid, my wife and I, we were changing her diaper. It was like the first or second week after we brought her home. And we changed the diaper, and she takes a shit. I'm not going to use a different word to censor myself because that's not what it would be. This was a shit, man. She took that shit and shot it out of her bum, dude. Like, it flew everywhere. It was like watching an episode of South Park or something when somebody takes a crap. And she laughed about it. She did it with a smile on her face or whatever.
Oh, she might be possessed. You better watch out.
I just kept visualizing Jim Ross when Foley got thrown off the cage or whatever.
My God!
And he's like, he's got a smile on his face. You know, that's what I thought of her. It's like, oh, man, she's grinning the whole time. So.
So since this is your, you know, third go around as in the kid department, and I feel, you know, I guess you can ask you, or do you feel confident in saying that you're a professional parent at this moment?
No, because I still continually botch normal day-to-day things. I tried to put on a dress on my daughter that was too small for her, and it made her cry because I guess it wasn't fitting on her or whatever. It's like, well, why did we put that dress in the wash pile, in the dry pile? Why hasn't that gone to Goodwill yet? You know,
that's, exactly.
That's my own ineptitude in not taking that to Goodwill that caused my child pain and suffering. So
a memory that they will forever, you know, is seared in their memory, and will probably blame you when they're, you know, on their wedding day.
Yeah, hey, let's look at all the times that Dad screwed up and let me down in life. I'm sure I've got a few more of those instances coming up. You have no children, though, correct?
That is correct. I mean,
you could have had one during the we had an 11-month layoff. I mean, that would have been enough time for you to have a child during this podcast break. You and your lovely partner could have conceived one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I will say I will make an announcement here. It's not a child, but we are officially engaged.
Ooh, nice. You and Dr. Girlfriend. You put a ring on it, man.
I did put a ring on it. Yes, we went down. So in this 11-month hiatus of ours, we went on another wonderful vacation. 2 years ago, a year ago, we went on a trip to Antarctica and Easter Island and a couple other places in South America. And that was fun. But just a few months ago, we left. We actually landed in Peru, pretty much on St. Patrick's Day in March, and we went to Peru for 3 weeks and Bolivia for 1 week.
Wow. Which place did you like better, Peru or Bolivia?
Well, Peru was really nice. So both places are really tough because it's high elevation. It's probably anywhere from 10,000 to 12,000, maybe even 13,000 feet in some places. And so that was really tough, actually, especially coming from sea level is what we're at right now. And the first night in Peru, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking I was being choked to death because I could not breathe.
Oh, are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, it was really tough. So once you land in Peru at the airport, in the gate, there's a big bowl that says take the coca leaves and chew them. And now coca leaves are actually then refined into a narcotic called cocaine.
Oh,
but wow. Yeah. But the coca leaf actually, it gives you kind of like stimulates almost like a kind of like drinking. I almost like put it to drinking coffee or having a little bit of like a tobacco, kind of chewing tobacco in your mouth. So you put it in your lip and it kind of gets in your bloodstream and kind of gives you a little extra pep and stuff like that. You don't really feel much, but it's supposed to help with the elevation sickness.
Could you take as many of these leaves as you want, or is it a strict one-only policy that they have?
It said the scientists take three. I took a handful. So I had my mouth full of leaves for the first couple, maybe the first week or so. It looked like I was an old 1970s or 1980s baseball player. I had so much. Like, it was like a big chew in my mouth.
Can you just get those leaves anywhere around there, or is it only special in the airport?
Yeah, you can get them anywhere. I mean, all the hotels pretty much have them just for free in kind of a big bowl, and they help out. You know, it's for helping out people acclimate themselves. It's not just for tourists, because a lot of locals still use it as well. It's like I said, it's like their version of coffee or maybe a cigarette or something like that. Kind of like just gives them a little extra pep almost.
I like it. Now, I was burying the lead there. The more important thing, not how you enjoyed your vacation, but how did the engagement go? Did you do it proper? Did you get on one knee?
I did it. I did it properly. So we did 1 week in Peru first. We started off. We went to Machu Picchu and all those places around Machu Picchu. Then we took this bus company called Peru Hop Bolivia Hop, and it's like a hop on hop off really nice buses, European style buses. And so we drove. We took a bus to Bolivia, to the border. Bolivia. And then we went to La Paz, Bolivia. That's the capital. And then we went to the world's largest salt flats, the Salar de Uyuni, the Uyuni salt flats.
And what did those do? Are you just standing there in the middle of salt, or does it look like a mountain, or what is this?
It's an amazing place. So it's so large that satellites use it to triangulate positions on the Earth.
Good grief.
So they'll use it as a starting point. It also has the world's largest supply of lithium is there in the salt flats. Yeah. So they're about to monetize that very soon as well. But the cool thing about the salt flats, there's two really cool features to it. It's actually a dead, prehistoric lake, which I think was a prehistoric ocean to begin with, because it's the salt, you know, obviously salt, and there's active hot springs kind of underneath as well. So there's the two really cool features of the Uyuni salt flats are when it's dry, you can see for miles, and then you can also do really cool perspective shots. So you can hold people in your hands, you can, you know, like you're fighting off Godzilla and it's a little toy. So that's really cool. But then also when it's wet and it's so large that all you have to do is you drive maybe another couple minutes from the dry area to the wet area, it gives almost a when you take pictures, like a mirror effect. So, or like you're standing on water, you're walking on water.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So it's really cool. It's very cool. And you can take some really cool pictures and you can get like, you know, reflection of the sun going down. And it's like two suns and it's really cool. So I proposed to the doc in an area where it was one of the mirror areas. And I told one of the guys, there was one other person who was on our trip. And I told him that, hey, I'm about to propose. Could you do me a favor and take a picture of this? And he's, okay, I'll take a picture. And I totally surprised the doc. We were taking a picture. And then all of a sudden I got down on my knee and I made the proposal. And the pictures turned out wonderful.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, my wife told me on she showed me on Facebook. She was overjoyed when she saw that you and Dr. Girlfriend. Can I call her Dr. Girlfriend now? She's Dr. Fiance.
Dr. Fiance. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
So I've you know what? I've done my darndest over all these years we've podcasted never to say her name on the show. I don't know if she would be offended by that or honored, but
I think it's a funny gimmick. I don't know. I'll just keep
going. No, I like the gimmick.
I've said it on other podcasts before, I think.
No, you've said it before, and I think one time I bleeped you when I was like, oh, we can't have that. That ruins the mystery. So, no, I'm glad that she was surprised, because I would imagine as long as you guys have gone together, the whole marriage thing is not just coming out of thin air. Like, I'm sure you two have talked about it. And did it feel like more of a challenge to surprise her, knowing that how much you guys have probably talked about it?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And you know, and I had meant to actually I had thought about doing it last year when we went down to Antarctica. I said, hey, you know, that's kind of a cool thing to do. Propose to your fiance, propose to your girlfriend in Antarctica, because, you know, hardly anybody goes to Antarctica. And it's, you know, it's a really remote place and it's pretty special. And I didn't have enough time to get the ring last year because we only had about a week before we went on our trip because we didn't know we were going. And so I felt a little bad. And so this time when this came around, I said, you know, I have more than ample time to go get a ring. So it was an interesting experience. You know, going into the ring shop, I knew the jeweler to go to. It was a very close jeweler, and actually it was suggested a long time ago by a patient of hers.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Hey, I love this jeweler. He's great. He does, you know, great things. And so I went in. He was super nice. He helped out, and it was like almost like a whirlwind. Like, I didn't think I was going to go buy a ring then, and we almost immediately bought the ring, or I bought the ring. So she didn't know about it.
Oh, man, and, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
that you were able
totally.
To hold that.
Yeah,
off.
You know, because it's interesting, because I always hear these people, you know, like, oh, well, we went in and we chose the ring, and I think it's more. It should be more of like a surprise, like, oh wow, you know, that's kind of like the thing a guy should do, and you know, to include but not really include. You know, it's like, hey, trust me on the ring I'm going to give you, because you know, hey, I love you, and you know, you're gonna. you know, hopefully I know what you like. And thankfully I did, because she loved it.
Yeah. I've gone ring shopping twice because I've been engaged two times or whatever. And I nailed it both times. I was really proud of myself. I got exactly what they wanted. And both selections are complete opposites. The first person I was engaged to, her ring choice, when I told my wife, she said, "Oh, that's disgusting." So I know what you mean, though, about wanting to try to include somebody in on it so you don't get them something that is, as my wife says, disgusting. You know, so,
yeah. Yeah. You don't want anything wrong. But, you know, for years she'd been saying that she wanted this type of particular type of ring, you know, not necessarily as an engagement ring, but she wanted this ring. And it was an opal ring that she always wanted.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the jeweler, I got an opal ring, and I designed it with the setting. And then I said, hey, you know what? Because her birthstone, she's in February, her birthstone's amethyst. So I said, you know what? She really likes amethyst. Can we throw that on? And the jeweler's like, amethyst will look perfect with an opal.
Yeah.
So
I had to look that up. I didn't know what it looked like.
It's two amethysts, they're little purple stones, two amethysts, and then right in the middle is a really beautiful opal. And boom, I did it. Though, right before, about a week before we left, maybe a couple days before we left on the trip, I had the red ring box in a white ring box, and it was stuffed in my backpack. And I was putting all, you know, stuff for the trip ready to go. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, the doc was putting stuff in my backpack
No.
And she saw the white ring box.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That sounds...
I know. But she thought at first, she said, oh, you know, I first thought it was a ring, but then I didn't think that you got me a ring. So I thought it was because we were going to Uyuni, I had put some kind of toys, some like Lego or like a robot. Because when the pictures of Uyuni, when you go to the dry area, you can see stuff, like I said, of you fighting off like Godzilla or a robot. So I've got a picture of me with a robot. And so she thought it was just toys in a box. And I said, oh, thank God she didn't open it up and look. Because then a week later, so a week passes, and now we're in Bolivia. You know, we do a week in Peru, and now we're in Bolivia. And she totally forgot that she saw that box in my backpack.
Oh, nice. Out of sight, out of mind. That's
exactly. And I was protecting that box with my life through the whole trip. Because it was in my backpack. I was, you know, holding it close. I'm like, okay, I got to watch this. I got to make sure I hide it correctly. Yeah, it was a harrowing adventure, let me just say.
Sounds like it. Now, I pulled up on Google image. I pulled up amethyst engagement rings, and I assume that the ring that you got is probably one of these pictures on Google Images. They look stunning, man. These are beautiful rings. I think you did a good job with this.
Well, you know, I try. I'm looking up that right now as well. The very close to that, with obviously the opal in the middle and then the amethyst on the side. So one each on that one. And it's a really nice piece. And it, you know, and I'm very lucky because she said, now this is awesome for a guy to hear, because she said, she goes, I am not a diamond fan. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. Because she said she's got diamond, you know, diamond earrings or a diamond, what, you know, a necklace. She's never really liked diamonds that much. And as a guy who's going to go buy an engagement ring, once you see the price tag of a lot of the diamond engagement rings, you're like, ho, Carl, that's a little too much.
Yeah, those can be pricey.
Yeah.
But now you get to pick out a wedding band.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, and I was talking to her about that. She, you know, we'll get her what she wants that will fit perfectly with the ring itself. And, yeah, well, that's another adventure to the jeweler.
What's your wedding band going to look like?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about that.
It's fun.
I'm, what's that?
It's fun. It's fun to do that. You don't usually get to go jewelry shopping for yourself. Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah. It's what kind of band do you have?
I had to convince my wife that this is what I wanted because it's so simple that she just thought I was trying to save money or something like that. I just have a straight up sterling silver wedding band. And the shape of it looks like it's almost the exact same shape of that ring from Lord of the Rings. Like, there's no kind of, like, engravings on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
If I look up Lord of the Rings ring. Yeah, just that simple round shape. It doesn't have the writing on it like the Lord of the Rings one does. It's just a straight up silver. I just don't like to wear gold. I don't know why, you know, I'm not a Muslim or anything, but I just don't like to wear, I don't like to wear gold. I just, you know, I don't like
I'm it. I'm not a big gold fan either. I'm not a gold fan. You know, some people could be like, oh, you get white gold or something like that. Like I'm fine with silver. I'm fine with, you know, it's really cool. My cousin has a, I'm trying to remember what the metal is in it. I want to let's just say it's platinum or something like that. But yeah. He also has
tin. He's got a tin ring.
He's got tin. He's got. He's got a ring pop as an engagement
ring. A ring pop and one of those little Burger King crowns. That's how he got married. Good but job,
he's got,
man.
On his, let's just say platinum. I don't know if it is, but he also has wood in it as well. That's a really cool, like elemental kind of ring that he had. It looked really cool. It's almost like a dark wood.
Jeez Louise, man. He reminds me of those people with those cars that have wood on them or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
oh, let's the wood, some wood on the woodmobiles.
Yeah, and so he's got a wooden ring, though. That's cool.
He's got a wood with metal, yeah, which is interesting because I'm not much of a jewelry fan. I don't wear bracelets. I don't wear rings. I don't wear – and if I do it – and I don't even wear a watch, actually, a lot of times.
I hate wearing watches, man. Watches are
– I hate them.
Ass. Well, I hate them.
For you, I don't know you. So I've – the watches, every watch that I've ever had always – pulls my the hair on my wrist.
I used to have that problem. I used to wear like a sport like watch or whatever, like you would wear when you go running, like I ran at all in high school. But I would wear that because I was like, oh, I gotta tell the time. And then when I got to college, I was like, I don't give a crap about time. And this watch, I hate wearing wristwatches. My wife and my mother-in-law, they tried to get me a wristwatch 1 year. I was like, no, I don't want to wear one. Which I don't feel tempted to go out and buy one of those stupid smartwatches. So
yeah. You know, me neither.
The only watch I would wear would be like James Bond. Like I want that thing to like pop up and like shoot a freaking laser that can like blow open a lock or kill a guy. Like that's only watch that I want to have.
I need specification. I need a laser that blows up stuff or kills people. Yeah, please.
It's got to do one of those things. The materials that could be in a ring, we got gold, silver, gemstone, pearl, stainless steel, titanium, cobalt, and tungsten.
Ooh, a tungsten I think we were looking at something like that, and that's a pretty rare metal as well.
Yeah. I will say, though, if you're trying to save some money, I don't want to say it out loud because I sound like a cheapskate dingo or whatever, but if you get yourself a straight-up sterling silver no-frills wedding band, they're ridiculously cheap. You could probably get like less than $50 or whatever. So in case you wanted to spend money on booze or, you know, something else more important, you can go with that. So,
which, and you know, the thing is, I'm totally fine with something like that. I like silver. You know, who knows if I would say yes to that, but it really depends on the look, you know, how it looks on my hand. And you know, I'm really a no frills, especially when it comes to like things like jewelry and stuff like that. Like I've got a bunch of watches that I never even wear. Just you know, they're really nice, but I'm just like, you know what, no thanks.
You know, I would like one of those fob watches. That's a watch I would wear. Like that one that hangs out of your coat pocket and you put your monocle on to look at it or whatever.
Well, I'm sure that's probably pretty big out in Austin, Texas. I'm sure you can probably find a few guys wearing those.
We got so many freaking hipsters around here. I'll tell you, you know, the first time I ran into a hipster was at my work. I keep a little cassette player with me because, you know, I guess I am a hipster too. But whatever, I like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie so much that I got a Walkman to be like Star-Lord. And my supervisor, she saw that and she's like, oh, this is so cool. Like I had one of these, you know, that looked like this when I was in school or whatever. She's only like, you know, 3 or 4 years older than me, but, you know, whatever. And she's all like waving it around and she's like, oh, you know, this is so cool or whatever. And this one girl sitting there, she's like, I only listen to my music on vinyl. I'm like,
oh God,
I have vinyl. And I even think that that's a stupid, petty, stupid comment. Like, really? Like, you couldn't just say, oh, that's a cool cassette player like Star-Lord has, you know? Like, no, she had to break out the, oh, I only listen to music on vinyl. It's like, well, I only punch people if they're a man, you know? So, sorry, I can't do anything
about
it.
You should have said, well, everybody's listening to music now on 8-track, so, you know.
Joke's on you, jerk. But
yeah. So, yeah. Catch up.
But, so, you know, I'm sure that you and Dr. Girlfriend, Dr. Fiance, I'm just going to say Dr. Girlfriend until you guys get married. No offense, but.
It's okay. I'm still saying it too sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to people. With my girlfriend. Oh, I mean, fiance. So I've only said it a few times. It's interesting.
Doctor, will it be Dr. Wife or Dr. Spouse? I don't know which one it will be.
I don't know. I haven't really. When we cross that bridge, I'll address that.
Yes, please do. Our many listener are anxious to find out.
On the edge of their seat. And actually, if you do care, and I'm you know for the listener and for yourself, we are planning a wedding. We have a date October 21st, 2018.
Okay. That's not far away.
Yeah, hey, not far away, but still a little more than a year in advance.
That is one day after my son's fourth birthday.
Hey, right on.
So I might not be able to make it.
No, I don't think.
No, you know, we've always wanted to go to freaking California because my son's godmother lives out about 45 minutes away from you. So, you know, it'd be nice to go out and see all of that or whatever. And so one of my old jobs is giving me a settlement or whatever. So maybe I'll take some of that money. Yeah, apparently.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I don't want to say the name out loud because I don't want to lose my money or whatever. But apparently, if you make people get ready for work off the clock, that's not a good thing. That's actually bad. Don't do that if you're running a company. And so
really,
yeah, they would say,
what is that? What the, can you get into the details?
Yeah,
of that? Like get together or get ready for work at home.
No, it was a customer. It was like years ago when I lived in Pennsylvania, but the settlement doesn't come through till like December. So, you know, I'm careful to that. But basically, it was a customer service thing. But they would always say, you need to be ready to make your first call right as soon as you clock in for work. So you need to get to work, you know, like 5 or 10 minutes before your shift starts. And then you need to, you need to get your computer set up and you need to get logged in, you know, through your phone set up and everything and get all of your windows pulled up so you can look up the information, because when you clock in, that means that you need to start taking calls right at 8 o'clock in the morning or right at 10 or whatever.
And, sneaky.
Yeah. So apparently I didn't think anything of it at the time. I was like, well, that's just kind of weird. I got to get to work 10 minutes before my shift starts just to make sure that I can get things done or whatever. But nobody listens to this, so they're not going to figure it out.
That's sneaky. That's really sneaky on that part.
Yeah, well, we get a little bit of money out of that, so and it's
that's,
you know,
cool.
I'm not going to be rich, but
how
it's
did
not
that, gonna... How did that come about? Did somebody just say, hey, wait, that's not fair, and then a class action kind of suit thing?
I guess, yeah, it's pretty much that's what it is, a class action suit. Yeah, I guess a few of my former coworkers just said, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Oh,
rest in peace, Owen Hart.
You work with Owen Hart.
All right. Man, I wish I did. Oh, he would be great. You know, I have watched maybe 3.5 hours of total wrestling in the last year and a half. That's the other big thing that's changed with me. Dude, I just don't care about it anymore, man. Like,
I'm going to agree. I am not a, you know, it's interesting. Leaving the country for 4 weeks does wonders about things like that.
Yeah.
My dependence on wrestling has really dwindled. Even when we came back, I really didn't watch. Like, I haven't caught up really with it at all. And I don't plan on doing it either.
Like, our dear beloved friend Christopher Ault, he invited me to WrestleMania weekend or whatever up in New Orleans. And I was like, man, I don't really want to go to the WrestleMania part. It's like, well, I'm going to have to sit there for 5 hours? He's like, oh, it's more like 8 hours. I'm like, no, there's no freaking way like that I would. I wouldn't even sit 8 hours to meet the Pope or watch the Patriots in the Super Bowl, let alone watch WrestleMania, you know, for 8 hours. So I told him, I said, I will go on the trip. I'll go to like the NXT show on like the Friday night, because that's, you know, that's not 8 hours. That's 3 hours, and it'd probably be a lot of fun. But I said, I'm not going to the actual WrestleMania. I will like go sightseeing in New Orleans or something like that during that time, because like... the idea of sitting in a packed stadium for 8 hours and being
that's
at their
wild.
Mercy, and if you get hungry, you get thirsty, you've got to use their bathrooms. I got to poop on their toilets. I don't like to poop on strangers' toilets. I like the bidet I've got at home. I don't want to go out and about if I don't have to.
That's generally a rule. I try not to poop at any stadium that I go to.
But really, can you imagine being in there for 8 hours? Like,
that's
don't care
wild.
How much you like the product. 8 hours, that's just a long
that's
time.
That's crazy. So that really for that whole, because I guess the whole pregame show that they do, because what is it? Like, it's a 4 hour show right now, I think.
Yeah, it was last year. I think it went close to 5 hours. It started
that's
at six. They start airing this stuff at 6, but there's probably one or two things before that, so you would probably want to get in there like an hour and a half to, you know, make sure you've got your seat and, you know, use the bathroom, get something to eat or whatever, and then it probably takes you like 30 or 40 minutes just to get out of there, out of the parking lot, and leave. So I was like,
that's
no.
Wild. I've always wanted to go to a WrestleMania, but I don't think I want to do a sit in the thing for 8 hours. I want to go in there just for, you know, for the 4 hours or whatever it is of the show, and then boom. But yeah, like you said, I'd be down to go see the NXT stuff.
Yeah,
you
know, or even the Hall of Fame. I told him I'd go to the Hall of Fame ceremony too on this.
Oh, that'd be fun. Did they do that this year? Yeah, I think they did.
I don't know why. We had it on at work because somebody had the WWE Network. So I was just like watching out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, that looks stupid. I think I said that looks stupid more often than I said that looks interesting. But you talk about being out of the country, you know, for 4 weeks, you know, when you have like a newborn or whatever, you know, you just lose all track. I got too many video games to play to finish, you know, watching wrestling, man. I just don't have any time.
Yeah, you know, you got so much stuff to do that you just kind of like you have to weigh your time differently now. Like I said, like, you know, I can watch the old wrestling for my other podcast, The Time Limit Draw. But, you know, the new stuff, it's just like, can I really dedicate 3 hours every Monday? And then I don't even watch the SmackDown just because, you know, I rarely ever watch SmackDown. But, you know, 3 hours alone, that's a task every week itself.
Yeah, that's like watching a movie every 3 weeks. And it's the same movie every 3 weeks.
Same movie all the time, exactly.
Speaking of wrestling, have you watched that GLOW show yet?
I loved it. We both loved it, which is it was awesome.
Dr. Girlfriend, she watch it with you?
Big fan. She really, really dug it. And that's a good thing because she was not a fan of a couple other shows that I kind of recently put on. You know, she wasn't really feeling Stranger Things, which, you know, everybody really, really liked.
Yeah,
but
she
really liked GLOW.
That's strange. Yeah, I'm trying to get my wife to watch it. I said, you know what? The pilot is only 30 minutes long. It's not an hour long. So I was like, just watch the pilot and see if you'll watch it. It's only 10 episodes long of a series. I'll totally watch that with you again. So some very, very nice looking ladies on that show. We'll just leave
yes,
it at that.
Yes.
And really good acting. Like that dude that plays Sam, Mark Maron or whatever. Like,
yeah.
He should get like an Emmy Award for that, man. He did great.
He was really funny in it, and there was a lot of really good cameos from male wrestlers as well, if you were paying attention.
I saw that dude who was that guy? He used to come out and he would like, somebody call my mama. Like, who was that guy with the WWE?
That's Brodus Clay.
Yeah, Brodus Clay. He was that one girl's brother, I guess.
Yeah,
was
and her other brother was Carlito. Do you remember Carlito?
Was that Carlito?
That was, with his hair down. Yeah,
He looks so familiar, but I could not place him. And I don't think her dad was a wrestler. I think he's just an actor.
No, I don't know who he was. Yeah.
He looks scary, though. He should be a wrestler. Good grief, man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other guys. There, you know, Johnny Nitro, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo.
Was he the guy they fired?
Yeah, the trainer that they fired.
Why did they fire him? I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah,
why?
That was funny. And his cameo was really short. I was expecting a little more. And then they had a couple other guys that were, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian and Alex Riley from NXT. You know, they had a lot of guys doing indie wrestling. It was really fun. It was really cool. Like you said, each episode is only 35 minutes, so it's not like one of those like a Marvel show where it's like, oh, okay, it's 55 minutes long, and that extra 20 minutes really, really counts when it comes to kind of balancing your time.
Also, Awesome Kong, she was really good on that show. Yeah,
yeah, so. She was really fun. She was was she Welfare Queen?
Yes, she was. Yes. Spoiler alerts. Spoiler. Just skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want any spoilers on GLOW. But she won the belt. I love that booking at the end of the show or whatever. But
that was a fun booking. The money's in the chase is what he said.
Yeah, he was right. Like man, you know, if that GLOW show was on for half an hour each week, it's like a regular wrestling show. I would watch the heck out of that. You know, I might not want to watch Raw, but geez, Louise, I would totally watch GLOW. And I don't think the people on the Netflix show are actually based on any of the actual GLOW wrestlers. I think it's just like a fictional
retelling.
They're all
like parody, yeah, fictitious. Yeah, because did you ever watch the original GLOW as a kid?
Yes, I did.
You did.
I didn't know it was GLOW.
I don't remember much of it. I remember a little bit, but I don't think I was a wrestling fan then when that came out. So do you remember the vivid parts of it?
I just remember like brief images of like people in like rest holds and stuff like that. But it was I didn't know it was like GLOW at the time. I just knew like, oh, there's wrestling on Saturday mornings, but they got women wrestling on Saturday mornings. That's really cool. Looking back, more than likely that was probably GLOW that I was watching. Maybe it was like, well, we lived in Memphis, so I mean, who knows? I could have been watching, you know, local women's wrestling in Memphis, but because that is, if you are unaware, Memphis used to be a really big wrestling city, you know, in, like, I guess if I don't want to call it the minor leagues, but it wasn't like big like WWF, but it was very, very popular, you know, back in the 70s, 80s.
Wrestling hotbed, I guess they'd call it.
Wrestling hotbed. So it might have been that, but I'm fairly certain it was probably GLOW. I don't know how I would even begin to look that up. I guess I'd call, like, the TV station and be like, hey, do you have a copy of your TV guide from, like, 1988? Like, you know, they'd be like, no, F off, man. But no, one of my favorite things on that show was the twist. When we find out that Sam is actually that girl's dad or whatever.
Yes, that was pretty cool. That was I liked that actress. She was really good too.
I kept confusing her with Aubrey Plaza, April from Community, or not Community, excuse me, Parks and Rec, if you are familiar with that show. I kept thinking that was her, because he even had like kind of like the same attitude.
I'm not familiar with that show, but I do know her from Legion. She was she was the main villain in Legion.
Oh, was she a villain on Legion?
Yes.
Was the X-Men show, I guess?
That was the X-Men show on FX. It was really cool. If you're interested in watching it, it's a really, really freaky kind of sort of psychedelic show. It's really, really cool. I dug it.
Well, my wife and I were actually watching Parks and Rec right now for the first time through. I didn't watch it when it was first airing because I thought it was just like a knockoff of The Office. But watching it now, it's so much better than The Office. It really is.
I've never seen that before.
It's on Netflix. I think you can get it by DVD or streaming. I'm not sure which service you have. You used to have the DVDs with the Netflix. I don't know if you still
used
got
to have
that
the DVDs.
Or not.
I don't have Netflix anymore. Oh, okay. I'm off. I'm doing something else nefarious.
Off the air, I can get you my Netflix password if you need it, and then you
interesting. Well, I think I'm okay with the thing that I have. I will tell you off the air.
Well, fine. Don't take my generous offer. You know, I'll give my Netflix offer to somebody else. You know, but
here, take my Netflix password. How dare you? Why would I do that?
But going back to that twist on GLOW, the funniest thing I've seen on TV in quite some time is when Sam goes to confront her. You know where this is going. He's going to confront her. He's at the boyfriend's house or whatever. And the boyfriend's mother walks in when Sam says,
I don't have anything to say to you.
Look, I'm sorry I tried to f*** you, okay? If you told me you were my daughter, I would never have done that.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Like, you know, like...
That was funny, but the thing that I liked, and I don't know what episode that was, but it was episode 7 for me. It was when the black tag team tells the two girls who are the hairstylist salon girls to switch up their gimmicks because they're going to change it. You know, the black girls didn't want to beat up the old white women, so they said, you know, they said people are going to hate us for that. Let's change it up, and they made them change their gimmick, and it was absolutely hilarious.
Oh man, they were just as a KKK. And,
yeah, are we allowed to do this? Can we do this? Well, they won't see our faces because we got hoods on. I just started laughing because the shot's perfect because they're just waiting in the background, and all you see is a white kind of, you know, the robes over them, and you don't see the hat, and you're just like, what are they doing? What are they? Oh, they're doing it.
That was I love that show. It was dark and moody without being like dark and moody, you know. It's not like some stupid Riverdale show or whatever on the CW. That show is crap, by the way. Can I just say that Riverdale show that they have of Archie, where like Archie's having sex, you know, like
I haven't watched it, and I your buddy Chris, he loves that show.
Oh, man,
I think he hate watches it. I don't know.
I despise that show the way you despise a UCLA athletic events.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. It's just like... it's like Zack Snyder got a hold of Archie. It's dark and gritty just for the sake of being dark and gritty for no good reason at all. Did you watch that show Kimmy Schmidt, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I have not seen that yet.
Okay. No. The tone of Kimmy Schmidt, that's what the tone of the Archie show should have been. You can have, you know, irreverent, you know, humor that's not, you know, goody two shoes like, you know, the Archie comics from decades ago. But the Archie show, man, it just needs to be kind of fun, upbeat, and bright. In the very first episode of Riverdale, they take like a minor but significant character from the Archie comics. He's so significant that I can't remember his name, but they freaking he's dead like the very first thing or whatever. Like, oh man, this murder mystery has gripped Riverdale, this teenage kid is dead.
Did they kill off Jughead, or is
but they're flirting with giving Jughead like a girlfriend and stuff, and it's like, no, Jughead is asexual. He's always been asexual. I know that, you know, you want to do things differently and maybe, you know, get a little creative with the canon, and that's fine. But that would be like, I don't know, Spider-Man being abused by his parents when he was a kid, and then he kills them, and then he feels responsibility to rid the world of evil. Like, that's what it would be like to change Jughead's, you know, sexuality from asexual to, you know, straight or bi or queer or gay or, you know, whatever they want to come up with for him. And, you know, there's not a lot of asexual characters on TV. Everybody's the same. Oh, this person's either straight or they're gay. And to have something that is different from that, to have something that's a unique sexuality that's not explored very much on TV or in movies, being able to have a reason to put that on TV, that's a reason you got to take advantage of. And, you know, I don't watch the show anyways, but I definitely wouldn't give it a chance if they screwed around with Jughead like that.
Well, Jughead, he, the only thing he loves is food or hot dogs or pizza or whatever it is.
Yeah. He loves food, man. He loves his friends and he loves food.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, it makes Jughead a good person. So,
and he absolutely loves wearing a crown too. So I guess, you know, is he some type of royalty? Is he a prince? Is he a king?
I think he just likes the crown, man. We all got our hangups, our fashion tastes, but I don't know, why does Jughead wear a crown? I guess so, other people.
It's called, actually, and because I just looked it up as well, the crown is called a beanie hat, sometimes called a whoopee cap.
Oh, okay, it's flipped upside down, I guess, or something like that, and such. Yeah, well, that's cool. I learned something new there. But I always thought it was just a straight-up crown. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
man,
me too.
Yeah. This guy's a little full of himself.
He hit up the local Burger King and got a crown.
Yeah. So that's my rant on Riverdale or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. And that's, like you said, CW. I try, you know, I'm not watching a lot of those shows just because it just doesn't – sometimes they just don't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. The other thing – so I'm watching Watch Glow and then watching the final season of Orphan Black right now.
Oh, by the way, he – in the show, I just looked up, he has no discernible love of food.
Oh,
and he's darker
and
moodier. So it's like, everybody on this show is just moody for no good reason. So, well, Orphan Black, how was that? Did you enjoy
Orphan
that?
Black, good show. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I've never watched it, but I've heard of it.
It's a show about cloning, which is really cool.
Like,
it's
like
interesting.
The Clone Saga with Spider-Man?
No, yes and no. No, yes, Ben Reilly allowed it there.
It's actually the
main character played by an actress named Tatiana Maslany. She plays at least five different characters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she finds the main character is let's just call her Clone A. She finds out that she is in a she's her life is not what she thought it was, and she discovers that she's got clone sisters, and there's some sort of conspiracy that's going on with them, and who's trying to kill them off, and things of that nature.
Oh, that sounds like it might be fun. For a minute I was confusing it with Penny Dreadful.
What's that? I don't know.
It's
that.
It's a show on. It's Showtime. I was thinking that the actress Billie Piper was on Orphan Black, but then I remembered. Oh no, she's on Penny Dreadful. So it's just a weird science fiction-y type show that's I don't know. That's on Showtime. So that's all I know about
Dreadful.
It. I've never watched it.
Never even heard of it.
Well, now you know. And knowing's half the battle, man.
It is.
So, Orphan Black. No, we are watching. We're watching Parks and Rec right now, and I've got some Doctor Who to catch up on. This past season ended, so I will need to pick up those episodes on Amazon Prime.
I still have not started that.
It's a good show, man. I don't blame you. There's so many TV shows out there that to say you have to sit and watch this specific one. It's almost impossible to recommend that to somebody nowadays. But
yeah, there's so many things out right now, and there's things that are constantly being churned out. You know, by all sorts of Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, and you know, it's really a great time to be able to watch, you know, some really, really quality shows. Yeah. But it's also a bad time because there's hardly any time to watch it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so saturated that you really are going to – the odds are you're going to miss something really good because you're watching something else.
I'm always too busy playing video games anyways. I'd rather play video games than watch TV. So the fact that I'm actually watching anything at all right now is just a miracle in and of itself. So,
speaking of video games, are you enjoying my posts as the NES A through Z on Twitter?
I'm enjoying that immensely, and in fact, I keep meaning to retweet you on that. But no, you're even teaching me new things about video games or whatever. So,
well, it's been pretty cool. So this is my little kind of a vanity project or somewhere, and, you know. And I don't really care if people are following or retweeting. I just like it because for me, going A through Z on the games of the NES are really cool because there's a ton of stuff that I'm sure I have never even heard of.
Yeah, you're talking about this, your most recent post or whatever about the Addams Family. I remember that game. I also remember Fester's Quest. Do you remember that game?
I do remember Fester's Quest. And actually, when I was typing about, you know, like I said, so we're only on AD, so the Addams Family. So we got another Addams Family game coming up. But I could only start thinking about Fester's Quest when I was starting to tweet about the Addams Family game. So I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait for a lot of games to show up. What's it called? The murder game. It's not a murder game.
Wow, that's oddly specific for a Nintendo game.
I can't think. Well, okay, the ones I can think of that I really can't wait for. I can't wait for Gunsmoke. I can't wait for Blaster Master. I can't wait for Commando. I used to play those all the time. Duck Hunt's going to be fun. Maniac Mansion. That's the one that I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. That's
Lucasfilm, and had a lot of controversy because you could actually put a guinea pig in a microwave and you could have it explode. And they actually had to take that part out of the game.
Yeah, and I think in the sequel to it, I can't remember the name of the sequel now because I feel stupid. But they actually say, hey, don't do this. So
yeah.
A Day of the Tentacle. That's
oh,
the name
yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Hey, wait until you get to the game Chiller. It's an unlicensed NES game, but it is based on the arcade game where you have a zapper and there's like people like hanging up on like torture racks and stuff like that, and you have to shoot their body parts off.
Whoa, it's, Chiller?
Yeah, it's so creepy. I never played it, but they got a bunch of weird crap in MAME that I've gone through and looked at. Joe, they have like naked lady games in MAME, like arcade games where it's like naked ladies and stuff. Yeah, like it'll be like you have to like draw off like one part of the picture and then part of the naked lady shows up and then you complete the whole board. And there's one called Lady Killer, and I am sad to say that the actual gameplay of Lady Killer, while it's a naked lady under it, the actual gameplay mechanics are actually a lot of fun. It's you're trying to clear the board, but you know, you're playing this penguin and you're having to run around and shoot other things or whatever. It's I don't know why it's a penguin, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah, but Chiller, man, it's creepy. You got like naked people and you're murdering them and stuff like that. Whoa. But
you said it's unlicensed, so obviously it did not come out, or it didn't?
It's like a cartridge, but like Nintendo had like, you know, nothing to do with it. They didn't put their seal on it or anything like that. So the American game cartridges, I guess they just made their own cartridges and made their own security workaround inside the cartridge and made this game for themselves. But they put a storyline in the game to kind of soften it a little bit, saying all these people you're shooting are really monsters. They're not really people. Even though they look like people, they're not really people. They're monsters. But
I'm looking at the pictures. This is insane. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before.
And I couldn't remember the name of it when it just now, so I just typed arcade game torture 80s, and and it came up. So, but yeah, kids at home, don't look this up. This is weird. I think I was listening to a podcast one time, and they talked about maybe like a kid's establishment, like a Chuck E. Cheese knockoff, actually had a cabinet with this game up or whatever.
Oh,
like,
wow. That's crazy.
Play. And it's like, oh, that's a little... messed up.
So yeah, well, I'll do all the licensed game first, then I'll do the unlicensed games to follow that up. So that won't be for a while, I don't think.
Yeah, that's I'm learning about all these games. I'm putting together a Raspberry Pi retro kit for my friend for our friend Chris. And so I'm going through, and I'm not just dumping a bunch of games on there and calling it a day. I'm trying to curate a list of games for him and make it like a museum of sorts, you know, like,
oh,
these
nice.
Are amazing games or whatever.
So what's the difference between – I hear the name Raspberry Pi being thrown around. I have just a ROM for the entire library of the NES games.
Look at you.
I know. Look at me. Yeah. but what's the difference between that and like a Raspberry Pi?
A Raspberry Pi is like an actual computer. Like, you can actually do like a crap ton with it. Just a lot of people use it for retro gaming, but people use it for, you know, whether it's just like their own little Linux computer with like a word processor and a web browser. Some people actually hook up the Raspberry Pis to like their thermostats or whatever and, you know, control the temperature that way. I think I even saw somebody use it to monitor the soil levels and the water levels of their plants and stuff. And, you know, creating something that would water their crops while they were gone. One of the neater things I saw for it, somebody made, made it into like a radio, for like one of their elderly, like their grandparents or something like that, where all you have to do is push a button and an audiobook will start playing.
Oh, cool.
And their grandparents didn't have to worry about trying to, you know, mess with something, you know, clicking on a bunch of different things or whatever. They just walk over to it with its speakers and everything and just push a button and then it plays. But yeah, Raspberry Pi is just the name of the computer, but just it's very popular for retro gaming. Because one of the neat things is on the Raspberry Pi, it doesn't have to be turned off. It takes up as much power as a cell phone charging. So if you have like a Roku box or something, you know what that's like, having that, you know, always on. So you could have all your video games loaded up on all your Nintendo games over and just flip your TV over to HDMI. And there's your menu on the Raspberry Pi. No booting up or turning on needed. And you just clear over and click your game and you're playing it a few seconds later.
So wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I will keep a copy of the card that I'm making for Chris. If you ever want one of those, I will just make a copy of the card or mail the card to you or whatever, and we'll get you set up, man. We'll get you
nice.
Up. We'll
and then what do? You hook it into a is it a separate computer or is it
It's the computer by itself. It's got an HDMI port. It's got four USBs. It's got built-in Wi-Fi and built-in Bluetooth and the HDMI port and the audio. Headphone jack or whatever. So theoretically, you know, all the software, everything runs off of a micro SD card. And so you put that up and you plug it into your TV's HDMI port. And if you want to use it like a computer, you can do that. It's really good for a computer. But the arcade machine that I have, my MAME cabinet, that actually has that's got a Raspberry Pi in there because I can leave it up and running. So I've had the same game of Frogger, like, just up and running in the attract mode for like 3 days now. So I just walk over and I turn the monitor on and sit down and I play some Frogger and I get up and I go about my day. It's
nice.
Easy as that. Yeah. Easy as pie.
Play some Raspberry Pi. Get it. Change some diapers. Yeah. You know, you're living the life.
My pun, man. Did you hear my pun? Was that a good pun? Did you like that?
I don't think it went through. Did
I say it again? I said, it's easy as pie.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So, well, we are coming to the end of our show. We actually have like listeners. I let a friend of mine at work listen to this. It's a girl who just started dating a boy. So maybe you're talking about engagement rings. Maybe you're giving her some ideas or something like that. So hi, Deanna.
If she just started dating, don't jump into it yet.
I think they've been dating for like a month or something. I don't know. I don't want to say anything else because I just said her name. Maybe I should bleep her name out or something so she doesn't get embarrassed.
My best advice, just have fun while you can.
Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody, Wang Chung tonight.
Wang Chung tonight.
It's the way the cool kids, it's what the cool kids are saying nowadays or whatever. So, before we go, by the way, your NES thing, that is Twitter at NES_A2Z. That's where you can find that. So
yeah, that's fun stuff.
And your Twitter handle is Beer Baron for Life. That's the number 4, not FOR or FOUR or anything like that. So
that's right.
And as customary on this show, I always retweet the last thing that you've tweeted. As I read this out loud, you said, "Alex Wood is a replicant. There's no other reason to how amazingly good he is pitching this year."
It's insane for the Dodgers. He just won a game. I don't know what his record is right now, but he had 10 strikeouts. The guy's got a 1.29 ERA. He's pitching out of his mind, and I love it. So ride the wave, my friend.
Also, we were talking about Clue earlier. Somebody didn't think Clue was a great movie.
I don't think he'd seen it that often. So there was not only was it me and you, and there was one other guy who said that's one of the perfect movies. If you're sick, you pour yourself a cup of soup, and it's on a rainy day, that's the perfect movie to watch.
You know, people have gone to hell for much less offenses much less than that. So, he should just try to watch. No, I'm kidding. but no, Clue. When I say it is the best comedy from the 80s, we'll have to talk about that another time. But that's a lot of competition. There's a lot of good comedies in the 80s. I've seen most of them. Ghostbusters, Major League, Back to the Future. They're all great movies. Fletch, yes. I actually have not seen Fletch. I need to get around to that.
Oh, you'll like Fletch.
With Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase in one of his funnier roles. Yeah.
Before he became a dick.
Yeah, kind of.
He's a kind of a jerk now. But no, I've seen Caddyshack, and I've seen Stripes and all that stuff. Uh-huh. They're all funny movies, but there's something special about Clue. I think it's the camaraderie of that cast. You don't get good chemistry like that all too often. And
Very true.
Wadsworth, Tim Curry's portrayal of Wadsworth is just
wonderful.
It's one of my favorite things ever. I am at 16-bit Catholic. I don't know if I'm allowed to retweet myself. I think that might break a rule or something like that on the internet.
Well, maybe I'll have to retweet you then.
I said the last original cut. I said, "Good grief, United, get your shit together." That's what I said out loud on Twitter. this woman had to hold her toddler in her lap during a 3.5-hour flight, despite actually purchasing a ticket for her toddler. They let some standby guy come on the plane and he took the kid's seat or whatever. And so
that's horrible.
Yeah, it's like United, really? Like, you guys really need to get it together. And so, oh, and my cousin Brooke, she just tweeted, "Why be moody when you can shake your booty?" So
there you go.
I leave you with that for tonight. I enjoyed this podcast. Let's try to make this happen more often than once every 11 months. That is as much my fault. Actually, that really is all my fault. I'll take the blame on that one. No. So.
It's okay. I blame you too.
No. You know, I got a consistent work schedule now. I don't flip flop all over the place with like times and days or whatever. And I work from home. So when I get done with work, I can just fire up the microphone and chit chat away with you. So,
well, I can't wait for the next episode, and it's an excellent time that we came back, and just in time for the summer. The summer is right in the wheelhouse, and we're gonna kick some butt next
we'll have
time
a
too.
Bash at the beach is what we'll have. What are we talking about next week? Do you know?
I don't know. We'll see where the wind takes us.
You know what? We didn't get a chance to talk about it on this episode, but I need to talk to you about Wonder Woman, man. That movie was amazing. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that movie was amazing. So
yep, that I agree. Will be. We'll maybe, talk about that when we. I guess next episode
we will give. We talked about Clue earlier. We'll talk about Wonder Woman. Maybe next week we'll give our movie theater and rental recommendations. So
yes,
you can look forward to that next week. Hopefully next week. Well, I will be out of town next week, Wednesday through whatever, so we'll have to try and record on Monday or Tuesday or something. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We're boring our listeners, so we'll go from there. But anyways, from James, the golden voice, James Ryan, I am Dustin Faber. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great day.